Swinging 60s, here I come, baby, yeah!
A Year in Japan, Episode 10.
Yo!
Oh yeah, it's Year in Japan. It's episode 10. Can't believe we actually got this far and we haven't been taken off air yet. Oh, I can hear voices in my head. Hang on, we're gonna have to deal with these. Could the voices at gate 3 please proceed up to the aircraft and board it now and get out of my head, please? Thank you.
Yes, my lord. We shall depart right away.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a very emotional month. This last month, we've had the Trail Walker event in aid of Oxfam Japan, which saw so many emotions flying around as we struggled on over 100 kilometers, climbing 3,500 meters, walking almost non-stop, kind of, for 31 hours. My god, it was such a drama. And there were tears. And there was quite a bit of swearing at points. And quite a lot of eating chocolate as well. Anyway, I'll be telling you all about that later in the show.
So, yes, what else is happening in this month's episode? I'll be telling you all about Trail Walker. And what else? Yes, exciting news about starting to plan my trip back home to the UK by train. Trying to put off the inevitable. I've got a new pen. I've got a new pen. It's really exciting. It clicks. Can you hear it clicking? It's got a really good click. Anyway, what's extra exciting about this pen is it's got four colours built in. And then after I bought it, I saw it said pencil on the side, and I pressed another button and a pencil popped out. Japanese pens are full of surprises. Oh yeah, you betcha. If we've got time, we might have a bit of news from Japan. What else? Stuff. Yes, lots of stuff. So without further ado, let's... get on with the show, cause the winner takes it all. The loser stands, has to fall. I can't quite remember the words. You sing it a lot when I was younger. Why should we complain? All right. Oh yes. Oh gosh. Oh wow. I think we better move on to the next section.
When she calls your name.
Hello, Joseph.
Somewhere deep inside,
you must know I miss you. So, yo, it's time for my news. Okay, let's go have a brief run through of the news. What have I been up to, apart from Trail Walker? Since the last episode, which was recorded and released a couple of weeks ago. Not an awful lot, to be honest. Trail Walker has taken up so much of my time and energy that I haven't actually been doing all that much. But exciting news from Tokyo, which really should be in the news section. In fact, let's do that. Let's put it in the news section. Hang on a sec. So 7 billion people quarantined as measles outbreak hits Japanese capital. An outbreak of measles has hit central Tokyo, forcing millions of schools to close and hundreds of billions of people to go home and not take lessons. Kind of. Yes, it's true. There's been an outbreak of measles at Tokyo universities, and it was quite exciting to see the universities go down one by one. First of all, there was my friend Jen. I saw on her blog that she'd been given 3 weeks off. And then, of course, there was my friend at Waseda University. And next one down was Keio. And then there was Hosei University. I've got friends at all these universities. And we heard that at Rikkyo, at the university where I'm studying, we heard that there were cases of measles on campus, but the university had not decided to close. They were kind of watching the situation closely and trying to decide what to do. And then eventually the announcement came through. It was just after class last Monday when the announcement came through. Of course, there is the risk that because we've got a week off, our semester might actually be extended by a week. Apparently some universities do this, but I think as we're only taking 1 week off, we should be okay. I know other universities have got three weeks off, and they might have their semesters extended. And by the way, I do know that measles is a very serious infection for people our age, but as far as I know, all my friends are okay, so that's good. So, what else? Oh, other exciting news. It was actually just before that announcement was made that I got a phone call from the bank. And this is very unusual. I don't normally get phone calls from the bank, except when they want to pay me lots of money. And what on earth? What are they trying to phone? What are they phoning me for? And the thing is, whenever you get a phone call from a bank, I've probably talked about this before, a bank or an official organisation, you have to wait for about half an hour for them to finish their opening spiel, which is basically just a load of polite rubbish, really. Because, you know, in Japan, they, when on the phone, they use all this blooming teinego or this keigo. And, you know, and basically it's basically konnichiwa, which has been elongated into about 33 sentences. Anyway, eventually I figured out that they had something of mine. And anyway, it turned out it was my ATM card. And I said to the lady, I said, oh, what? You've got my ATM card? Hang on a sec. And I checked in my wallet, and my wallet was empty. And all my bank cards were gone. Post office and Japanese bank cards, my Yodobashi point card from the darling electronics store, that was also gone. My hospital membership card was gone, and I'd left them all by an ATM the other day, and I hadn't even realised this. And of course, you know, if it was the UK, you might not have seen your bank cards again. But because it's Japan, they were immediately sent to the local branch and I was able to pick them up. So I was very happy about that. That's great stuff. What else has been going on? I've been planning my trip back to the UK. Oh yes, I have. So I'm going to depart on August 14th and I arrive back on September the... September the 15th or something like that. Anyway, so I'm going to take the Trans-Siberian going through first boat to Shanghai from Osaka, then Beijing, then up through Mongolia, stop at Ulaanbaatar, is it Ulaanbaatar or is it Ulaantar? I can't remember, for about 4 days. then up to Lake Baikal, where I'd like to stay. You know, Lake Baikal contains a quarter of Russia's fresh water. I was going to say it contains a quarter of Japan's fresh water. That would be a bit strange. Anyway, and I'll stay there as well for a few days, and then carry on north, south, east, west. Carry on west, and probably end up going through Belarus if their website starts to work and I can manage to get a transit visa. In fact, readers of the Daily Mumble will know I've been having problems trying to get visas for Russia and Belarus and what's the other one? I think is it China? I can't remember. Oh, and Mongolia, that's it. The Mongolian government website. If you try and access the embassy homepage, it says that the embassy user is over its bandwidth limit, and so there's no access to the website. So that's a great sign for what is to come. I've basically got a basic plan for that sorted now. I don't really want to return to the UK, so I'll just try and put it off as long as possible. I do actually have a flight back to the UK dated 10th of June, so that's next week or the week after. But unfortunately, I'm not going to use it. So if there is anyone out there who happens to be called Joseph Tame and wants to go from Tokyo to London via Amsterdam on the 10th of June, do let me know. You can have the ticket, but you do have to be called Joseph Tame. But yes, do let me know. Oh, what else is happening? Well, it's all been trail walker news, really, hasn't it? It's been amazing trail walker stuff. So I think without further ado, let's get into the trail walker groove. Oh yeah, baby, yeah.
It was Friday, 18th of May, 2007, when five men and one woman with legs made of steel set out on an epic adventure that saw them cross 100 kilometers of southeastern Japan, scaling seven peaks, totaling in 3,500 meters of climbingness. The trail presented many dangers, including big steps, more steps, big rocks and more rocks, squirrels, bears, mud, and the occasional coffee stop. The aim of these epic trail walkers, collectively known as the Blisters and the Longlegs, was to raise £2,000 for charity. That charity being Oxfam, which provides vital aid to some of the world's poorest communities in times of severe crisis, and implements long-term plans aimed at improving the lives of millions who live in poverty. This group of six was made up of students from Sheffield University on their year abroad, and a lady, also from Sheffield, with legs made of lightning rod steel, and two Japanese friends who were unfortunate enough to get roped into the exercise. It was a bitter, bitter challenge, and took them 31 hours to complete. Let us now hear from their original team leader, Joseph Tame.
Thank you, Tommy. It was quite an experience, and we've been building up to this event for a long time. I first heard about it in January when I was doing some voluntary work at Oxfam, and I saw this poster in the office for the Trail Walker. And they've been holding Trail Walker in England, Australia, Hong Kong, and for absolutely years. It started in Hong Kong about 17 or 21 years ago, as organised by the Royal Gurkhas as a military training exercise. And since then, it's been done as a challenge for mere mortals to see if they can manage to, stay the course. So this was the first time that Oxfam's organised it in Japan. So they've put in a tremendous amount of work into finding a 100 kilometre path that's suitable. Participants did say repeatedly, participants that came over from Hong Kong and did the Japanese one this time, they said repeatedly it was a very difficult course, much more difficult than the Hong Kong course. But anyway, I knew that it was going to be difficult, but I didn't really appreciate just how difficult it was going to be. So I merrily roped in a few friends, course mates from Sheffield, and the partner of one of my course mates, Vicky, and also my friend Tom. Tom, unfortunately, on the actual day was quite ill. And in fact, previously had also been told that he had to work on the second day of the challenge, so he was unable to participate, unfortunately, despite all the training he'd been doing, because like some of us, Tom had been training for a few months in the park and in the gym and things, and Nigel and Vicky also had been going out to a local mountain every weekend. John had been playing tennis once a week and eating hobnobs, which is excellent training. he did so well. And of course I've been going to the gym, and then we had two Japanese friends as well who were introduced to me by Oxfam Japan, and they were fantastic, Taro and Osamu. And also Twinkle, my girlfriend, her father, Takashi, was going to be taking part, although he decided not to take part this year. He will take part in the future, and instead he was our support team, so he was driving our support car for about 500 kilometers, so we're incredibly grateful to him. And also my girlfriend Twinkle and John's partner Misako, they were also part of the support crew. Keep us stocked up with food and drink and clothes along the route. They'd meet us at checkpoints, as most of the route wasn't on roads. There was a very short distance on roads. The majority of the course was all off-road on this mountain trail, involving these pretty harsh climbs and descents, enough to muck up anyone's knees. Which, unfortunately, there was a bit of knee trauma on the course. Anyway, so we started at 9 a.m. on the Friday, and we arrived at Odawara Sports Centre, and there was about 600, there was 160 teams times four, so that's 640 people. And my God, you know, they're all dressed in their, you know, really tight leotards and all their really snazzy equipment and all that, and there was us looking like right scruffs. In fact, one of our team, Osamu, had a pair of jeans on and was carrying a carrier bag, and he looked so funny, sort of surrounded by all these professional athletes, that some other teams took some photos of him because they said he was their hero for daring to do it in such gear. Anyway, we set off, and we tried to ignore the people who were running, and decided we were going to walk, hare and the tortoise and all that. And yeah, off we set. The first stage, it was all single file, because if you've got 640 people all going along pretty small, narrow street, you know, everyone gets sort of stuck behind each other. But over the course, we all spread out. We kept on going, and yeah, it was lovely weather, and we were all feeling really great. No problems with our legs or anything at that point. And anyway, I've now got an extract from a recording I made when we were about 33 kilometres in. And at this point, I'm walking up a hill, so you have to forgive me for the puffing and panting. So it's now something like... Now, what? Yeah, what is it? What time? 10 to 4 on the Friday. We're about 33 kilometres in. So we've been walking for what? Can't really think anymore. 7 hours. And yes, it's going pretty well. Concerns about the dodgy knee have so far proved to be unnecessary, thanks to the training
and this wonderful walking stick. I shall never look down on people with walking sticks ever again. They are a wonderful invention. And we've been through the Hakone checkpoint, which was a real live checkpoint back in the Edo era, and saw a giant woolly thing being filmed for some bizarre reason. And now we're just walking allegedly along the length of Lake Ashinoko, but rather than walk along the shoreline, we're walking along. Oh, wow, it's beautiful. We're walking on the most impossible path, including hundreds and hundreds of stairs, which just go on forever, these steps. And it's absolutely knackering. Steps are a real killer. But with this walking stick, it's going well. So, yep, we're on time. And everything's going well. Our support team have been great. We've seen them at virtually every checkpoint along the way. Wow, that's quite a view. There's a golf club. Sugoina. No, it's really great.
So we soon arrived at the next checkpoint where there were a lot of teams setting up camp, it being a campsite, and staying there for the night, having a rest. We decided we were going to carry on through the night. Yes, why not? You know, fancy a stroll. So we set out. It was now dark. We had our little headlamps, although they proved to be not all that useful, because going up the mountain, the mist and fog soon closed in and they were reflecting straight back at us, so we couldn't really see where we were going. That next climb was absolutely shocking. We managed to find the entrance to the mountain. It was a path through this forest, and we were signed in by a couple of old grannies who were local volunteers. Now Oxfam managed to recruit something like 500 volunteers for this event, considering Oxfam only has full-time staff of about 7 to 10 people. That's absolutely extraordinary. They managed to organise that many people. And so these a couple of old ladies signed us in, and they were saying gambatte, you know, good luck. And we plunged into the forest of doom on the mountain of death. At least it was the mountain of death for our knees, as was to prove to be the case. So we started hiking up, and it was horrible. It was really bad. It was so steep and muddy and stony, and poor old Osamu in his jeans and trainers kept on slipping over because he had no grip. So I stayed at the back to make sure that he wouldn't fall behind. But soon enough, we actually came across another team that was walking in front of us quite slowly. And a little later that night, I recorded this audio diary to talk about that team. So let's listen to that.
Something else really interesting happened tonight as well. When I was working in the Oxfam office, like registering teams and things, there was one team that particularly caught my attention, and that was the team from the British Embassy called the Roving Bureaucrats. Yeah, Roving Bureaucrats. And because, of course, you know, for a long time I've wanted to work at the British Embassy, and that was, in a way, it still remains my goal. And that was one reason why, you know, I mean, I tried to apply to them before and I was rejected, and that's one reason why I thought, okay, I'll get a degree. So I've been thinking, well, wouldn't it be great if I could meet the guy? And I remembered the guy's name.
I'm sorry, but for legal reasons, the man's name has been deleted from this recording.
Anyway, we were walking up the hill, and we were following. It was the just when it went turned night time, and we started out on the night trek, the really really harsh one, up to the top, and we were following this team of four, and at one point we stopped for a drink, and they stopped for a drink, and we stopped for a drink, and we sort of ended up tagging along behind them, and I heard one of them say,
"Come on, Mr. So and So," and I said, "Oh, are you Mr. So-and-so?"
And he says, yeah, yeah, how did you know? And I said, I worked in the office, but I didn't say anything else. I thought afterwards, if only I'd said that, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, we followed them all the way to the top, and it was really nice because that was a vicious climb. I mean, absolutely horrendous climb. The most difficult of the entire course. I'm very glad we did it at night because it meant that we didn't have to see what lay ahead of us. Hang on a sec, I just have to collect my thoughts. I think taking that painkiller, and also I'm so tired, it's going to have quite an effect on me. Yes. Anyway, we get to the top. So windy, and it's raining a bit, and there's this mountain hut up there. And we walk in. There's about 20 people or whatever. And of course, Richard's team's there, and I'm sure it's their team name was Raving Bureaucrats. And yeah, and so when we left just before, and we said, thank you so much for guiding us. You Raving Bureaucrats have been fantastic. Hey, how did you know we're the Raving Bureaucrats? Said one of the other team members. And Richard said, "Can you write that out in triplicate, please, and submit that phrase again or whatever." Yeah. Anyway, so that was really interesting because I'd really wanted to meet them, and then it happened. So, anyway, Vicky says that the painkiller that I took would make me feel sick, and it is starting to make me feel sick. So I may well be sick, actually. I do feel very sick. But, shoganai ne, shoganai. My stomach is rejecting it. Okay, I need to think about something else, so I'm going to stop recording this.
So in that audio extract that was recorded a few hours after we hiked to the top of that mountain and down again, you got a sneak preview of what lay ahead. But basically, yes, it was really nice to catch up with these guys from the embassy, and we had some really nice conversations on the way up. And then at the top, yes, it was bizarre to come across this little mountain hut. And in fact, I later spoke to Oxfam and they said that they deliberately kept that a secret as a nice surprise after this horrendous climb up the mountain, because it was really windy and nasty and cold up there. And then this lovely old tea house, which apparently it was, I've recently read, it was staffed by a woman. Well, she did look like she was in her 80s, but apparently she's climbed that mountain about 20,000 times over the past 20 years or something like that. Quite an incredible woman. I don't know how she does it, but that's Japanese grandmas for you. They're absolutely incredible. And then came the descent, and it was the descent that really caused the damage. Climbing's not so bad, you know, just take it slowly, but descending, it is so tough on your knees. And in fact that's what really started to damage my knees, although they only hurt a bit as we were actually going down. But it was when we got to the bottom of the mountain, got to the checkpoint at the bottom, that's when I realized that something was seriously wrong. So I bandaged my knee as best as I could. It was my left knee. Throughout the entire training program, of 3 month training program, I've had problems with my right knee. So I already had three knee supports on that throughout from the beginning. My right knee was absolutely fine, but my left knee was really hurting. So anyway, I applied various bandages and stuff like that, and then carried on. Unfortunately, the next bit was a tarmac road, a very small tarmac road with no cars on, but this obviously was quite hard on the legs as well. And after the shocker of that descent, well, I didn't realize it at the time but actually I was in big trouble, as we hear now.
Well, boys and girls, here we are by myself now in the middle of nowhere, somewhere in the outback in Japan. It's about 1:30 a.m. I'm at there's a Oxfam point 112. They've got points every 500 at 50 metres along the route. So that means that I've walked 56k. Anyway, basically coming down the last big mountain, my knee, left knee, ironically not the right knee, which was giving me all the jip, started to give out. I didn't really, it wasn't that much of a problem at the time. It did hurt, but I thought I could carry on. When I got to checkpoint, what was it, the last checkpoint was checkpoint 5, I think. And, excuse me. And there I got my cold spray, freeze spray, and I sprayed it. That didn't make a blind bit of difference, it's right con that. And then I put these things on that I got from the doctor, which are like these cold compress things. They're not made of ice or anything, they're made of this very thin, sticky material that you sort of wrap around your leg. And they've got some kind of painkiller in. And I put them on. Then I got a bandage and I bandaged it up. And I thought it was going to be all right. And since then, I've walked another maybe, I don't know, 6K downhill. 6 or 7K down this road. Quite a gentle slope. And that was all right. I was had to walk quite slowly. But then as soon as we hit a slightly steep slope, that was it. Absolute agony. I mean, I virtually fell over, and Tsujimura-san had to support me. So, agonizing decision what to do. Because I didn't want to hold my teammates back, but also I knew that if it was so painful, obviously, there's something seriously wrong. So, Vicky, Nigel's girlfriend, she's a nurse, and she had some really strong painkillers on her, and really strong, that they give to people after surgery, and I've taken one of those. But no, I just can't walk any further. So it's really quite upsetting, actually. I nearly burst into tears when I make the decision that for the sake of the team, oh my God, Joseph, you're so wonderful. No, for the sake of my health primarily, I got to stop. So that's where we are now, waiting now for Oxfam to pick me up. So yes, it's a real shame. Never mind. I'm sure it's happened for a good reason.
It was shortly after that then that I was violently sick. It was incredible. My stomach obviously just picked up on the fact that there was an alien object in there. And reacted extremely strongly. I've never been so sick so quickly. It was extraordinary. But then I felt absolutely fine, apart from the fact that my leg was completely buggered and I couldn't walk any further. And then I got very upset because, you know, I've been training for this for months, and I got everyone involved, and I felt sort of responsible because There was them carrying on walking, whilst I was just sitting in the middle of nowhere, you know, just waiting and sort of, well, I wouldn't say relaxing, but compared to having to carry on walking through the night. So I did feel quite bad and pretty upset. Anyway, eventually, yeah, after 2 hours, I was picked up. So I was waiting there until 3:30. And I think at one point, I don't know if it was a bear or if it was a monkey or what it was, but there was a pretty big animal in the woods. Because when I lay down, at one point I lay down to try and take the pressure off my legs and things, try and maybe get a bit of sleep. And suddenly I heard this rustling in the woods behind me. So I started waving my bell around like crazy, because every walker had been given a bear bell to scare the bears off. Anyway, picked up 3:30 and taken to the next checkpoint, which was it was only a couple of kilometres down the road. In the morning, the support crew picked me up, and we all went to the next checkpoint, checkpoint 7, which was 16 kilometres further down the course. So by 7 o'clock in the morning, the team had continued from where we parted, and they'd walked this other 16k, and we all met up at checkpoint 7. Now, seeing them at checkpoint 7,
It was really upsetting because I could see just how tired they were and how much they'd been, carrying on and things. But I so wanted to complete this hike. It's, I really, really wanted to. But what could I do? Because I was limping pretty bad and it hurt quite a lot. And I just didn't know what to do. And then it was suggested by one of the staff that I have a stretch service. And I wasn't sure entirely sure what this was. I thought it was just some kind of massage or something. Turned out that wasn't the case at all. I explained to one of the stretch staff what my state was, and he said, "Oh, hang on a sec. I'll get the sensei for you. I'll get the boss for you." And then I was seen by the most extraordinary physio with over 10 years of experience. He was amazing, and so I had my leg wrapped in ice, and then he did the most amazing stretches on me, which I didn't realize my leg could move like that. And then he bandaged me up with this tape so that my leg was held in a certain position. And he said, I said, "Well, do you think I can carry on?" And he didn't want to say yes because he didn't want to be responsible, because he could clearly see that really I shouldn't. But he said, "Well, it's up to you. If you do walk, then make sure you hold your leg in this fashion," which is sort of bending my leg inwards. So I thought, right, sod it, okay, let's go for it. And I was so happy to rejoin the other 5 team members. It was so nice to be reunited after that. After I basically thought, that's it, I can't complete the course, I was absolutely delighted. We set out, and things were okay for the first few kilometers. Nigel, Vicky, and John steamed off ahead because they're so energetic. It was mad, and also they were actually officially recognised as a team, registered as a team themselves. So that was okay for them to, carry on like that. And myself and Osamu and Taro tagged along behind, and I was okay for a little while, and then crikey, the pain really kicked in, and you should have seen me hobbling up this mountain track through the forest. It was really ridiculous. I had my walking stick and I was really shuffling like an old geriatric. It was quite extraordinary. But I was thinking, okay, well, I kept on thinking, oh shit, am I going to have to call for another sort of rescue vehicle? And I later found out that our support team, led by Takashi was extremely worried about me. That's so kind of him. And he was trying to find out how he could access the path with the car so he could pick me up in the event that I sort of collapsed on the way. I didn't know this at the time, I was told this afterwards. And with Osamu and Taro's encouragements, they were so good, because I mean, they were knackered as well, so we all walked along really slowly. And then I don't know, I guess I kind of went through this barrier and suddenly it didn't hurt anymore, at least I couldn't feel the pain. And then suddenly we were in the last, we had another 15 kilometers to go, and we were so tired, but it was just like, wow, we're so close to the finish now. And so on we plodded. And I tell you what, when we emerged out of that final forest, we came out of the forest, we were walking straight ahead, and then I just turned my head to the left, and suddenly there's Mount Fuji, tallest mountain in Japan, absolutely magnificent, snow-capped beauty, with the huge lake Yamanaka at its foot. Seeing that sight was absolutely extraordinary, and I yelled back to Osamu and Taro, look, it's Mount Fuji! And so, of course, we stopped there and we took photos, and we were so delighted, because basically we then finished climbing that final peak and the end was in sight. And I was now so excited because it had been so difficult to get to that point. And I was I didn't look at the map, and I just assumed the finish point was just right at the bottom of the mountain. So I thought, oh, sod it, I'm going to run. And I did this crazy one-legged run, if that's possible, down the mountain. And then my leg was absolutely killing me, but I really didn't care. I was so happy to reach the end.
Wow, so we're in the home straights now. This is the final bit through the woods to the finish point. Nigel, John and Vicky are before in front at the finish point waiting for us, and then there's Tara and Osama behind me. And my legs are hurting quite a lot because I've just run down from the top of the mountain, so I'm so excited. No, yatta! Sugoi desho! I did another 23k today on the dodgy. No more than that, 25-27k on a very dodgy knee. That guy works miracles, that guy who does the sports thingy. So yeah, we're nearly there now. This guy's on my list.
Anyway, eventually through the final bit of forest and greeted by a huge crowd at the finish line. Nigel, Vicky and John were there with Takashi and Twinkle and Misako and the Oxfam film crew and everything and other teams. It was really great. I was so happy to finally reach the end. Yeah, and everyone did so well. I mean, by the end, Vicky was limping. Nigel's knees have always been a bit dodgy. In fact, he's had one operated on, so he was in pain for a lot of the time. He battled on. John had problems with his ankle. Also, Osama and Taro were absolutely knackered, although they kept on laughing all the way through. They're absolutely wonderful. What an amazing team. I'm so grateful, so happy to have been part of that team. We did it, guys. We did it. Well done us, Otsukai Samades. And of course, another very important element of the team was you guys, the people who donated to help us raise over £2,000 for Oxfam Japan, which is going to be going towards places like Darfur, where they've got a horrendous crisis on at the moment. So thank you ever so much to everyone who donated. So grateful. And thank you so much to our support team for driving so far and being so wonderful. And thank you to Oxfam staff for making it all happen and the other Oxfam volunteers. So an extraordinary experience, an absolute highlight of my year abroad here in Japan. They're going to be doing it every year in May. There's also Oxfam Trail Walks in the UK, Australia and Hong Kong, as mentioned before. So, you know, do have a look on the internet for Oxfam Trail Walker and take part, because it's absolutely extraordinary. And it's my very strong intention to take part in Oxfam Japan Trail Walker 2009, because I won't be here next year. So anyway, woo! That was Oxfam Trail Walker 2007. Otsukai Sama desu! Woo! Yay! Christ, the neighbours must think I'm a right crackpot. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of this Trail Walker special episode of A Year in Japan, episode 10. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for your support. This isn't going to be the last podcast from Japan because I'm still here for another 10 weeks this year. So there'll be another episode out next month to look forward to, or not, as the case may be. Quick shout out to Rick Noli, have I got your name pronounced right this time? Rick Noli, thank you very much for your more feedback. And also Chris, thank you very much. Good to have you on Facebook. Oh yes, if anyone out there is on Facebook, I'm on Facebook as well. So yes, you can find me on Facebook. Brittany, thank you very much for your email. Really appreciate that and glad you enjoyed the show. If you want to send me any feedback, remember you can do. The email address is joseph@ayearinjapan.com. The website is www.ayearinjapan.com. You can also Skype me. My Skype username is Joseph Tame. What else can you do? Send me MP3s, video files, whatever you like. Not viruses, though, thanks. Also, check out my blog, The Daily Mumble, which can be found on the Tame Goes Wild Network. which is www.tamegoeswild.com. There's a link to that from ayearinjapan.com. So do drop by there and you know, see what I'm up to. And I've got loads of photos, about 10,000 photos online. And check them out. And yeah, you know, get in touch and have a great time. And oh, watch out for the trail walkers in the press in the UK. We're being covered in the Hereford Times, the Sheffield Star, the Sheffield Telegraph, and we're on the university website as well. So watch out for us being famous. Thank you ever so much. Take care. Bye bye.